here's a great reminder. Just find somebody doing something right and tell them a good word. Now, you can't think it. You have to what? Say it. You can't go by someone doing something really cool. No, all they're going to do is look at you and think, he's weird. He's weird. You have to say it. You have to say it to them.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne showed us that people are starving for words of encouragement, something you and I can give them every day. Well, today, he'll take it a step further and show us the power of touch. Here he is with the conclusion of the message, chapped lips.
In the Old Testament, did you know that these blessings were so important to children that kids would line up to receive a word? And these people that were giving were mostly parents. And this was called the people of the blessing. And it was just well-chosen words that gave future to these children, that spoke to them about what they were going to be and the bright future that lay ahead and the rays of hope and the gifts that God had given to them, that you're going to develop that and it's going to be fruitful. And these kids would actually line up. In fact, I found this book, and it's about Jewish family life. It's actually written in 1602. And I pulled out two sentences, just two, to tell you how important these well-chosen words were for the blessing. And here it is. It says this: before the child can walk, they should be carried on the Sabbath day and the holy days to their father and mother to receive a blessing. And after the children are able to walk, they should go on their own accord to their father and mother on the Sabbath days and holy days with heads bowed to receive their blessings. I thought, boy, that's absent today. We don't do that. You're in the malls and you listen. Words are spoken that steal futures. But God is saying, choose words rightly, because you don't realize how important words are. The scripture tells us the importance of choosing right words. And God's going to bless you just like he did Abraham in order that you will bless others. God's going to speak to you when you're reading the Bible and you're going to receive a good word like, wow, that's so good. Thank you, God. Oh yeah, it's for you, but it's not only for you. I want you to give that away. See, like in the Old Testament, Abraham, it says here in the scriptures in Genesis 12, God says to Abraham, I will bless you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. In other words, I'm going to bless you so that you will bless others. God said that to Abraham, and he's saying that to you and me. He's going to bless us in order that we can give it away. You say, well, I'd like to be a person of the blessing, but how do I do that? Where do I start? Real easy. Here's two things for your notes. Are you ready? Here's the first. Start small. Start small. Everybody can give a word. You don't have to be an orator. You don't have to be eloquent. Just a word. Listen to what it says here in the book of Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. But read the next phrase, go. But a good word makes it. But a good what?
Word.
A book. No. Magazine. No. A long article. No. A good what?
Word.
Word. Just a word. Thank you. That's great. That blesses me. Beautiful. You look pretty. That's so nice. Thank you for your time. Those things are huge. A good word makes the heart glad. We're designed that way. Hearts are waiting for words to be said in such a way that it changes them. I say this to people. Watch for someone doing it right and tell them. Watch for somebody doing something right and tell them. Because you see, it says a good word makes it glad. So you have to say a word. You can't think it. Take a look at the service. There's people running sound and lights and cameras and all kinds of things. It takes 50, 80, 100 people to make these services run well. And it's almost like we forget. Here's a great reminder. Just find somebody doing something right and tell them a good word. Now, you can't think it. You have to what? Say it. You can't go by someone doing something really cool. No, all they're going to do is look at you and think, he's weird. He's weird. You have to say it. You have to say it to them. Now, I need you to hear this very clearly. Listen carefully. If we don't say something and someone is doing something good, but you don't say anything, because we live in a parched society where people are desperate for affection and value, everyone has what I call blank spaces in their life. And if they're doing something and you don't fill in the blank space, guess what? They're going to fill it in themselves, but always it'll be with negative words. He didn't say anything, so I must not be doing it right. Oh, he didn't say anything, so I guess I don't cut it. I guess I'm not worth it. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. What's the use of this? Nobody notices. You understand? When we leave blanks, especially in young people's lives, because they've been raised in a society that's parched and desperate for affection and value, they're always going to put the wrong words in those blanks. And if you and I don't put the right words, if we don't choose right words, they'll miss the blessings of God. And so make sure you fill in those blanks as often as you can. That's why the scripture says it this way. Would you look at Proverbs 3 with me and let's read it. Go. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. See, don't withhold good. Well, I don't need to say anything. No, say it. Don't withhold it. Well, I think, no. A good word makes it glad. And if you leave a blank space in their life, they'll always fill it in with something not good because we don't have the best self-esteems. So fill it in for them. And let's remember the wonderful scripture in Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They're not plans for your calamity, but for your welfare in order that you might have a future and a, did you know that God's word is trying to give futures to people and hope? How many young people have no future? They have no hope. They just knee-jerk their way through life and settle. Remember, life will not give you what you're gifted to do. It won't give you what you deserve. It won't even give you what God promised. It'll give you what you settle for. And a lot of young men and women just knee-jerk their way through life and they settle for whatever. And God is saying, oh, you live so far beneath your potential. I know the plans that I have for you. And if we can be a people of the blessing, do you understand the amount of future we can give and hope to people? Because there's prodigals coming. And if God can see that you and I are willing to start small, that we give out good words and he will steward it. You say, well, I don't have much to give. Well, what you have, give. If it's just a word of appreciation, because when you can steward what you have, God will give you more. If you don't steward what you have, why should he? So I steward what I have and just say, thank you. You look pretty. You're great. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I'm grateful for you. When God sees that you're willing to give away a small blessing that he gave to you, guess what he's going to do? When you give it away correctly, you choose right words, he's going to give you a ton more. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So you want God to bless you? Start blessing others. And watch how he just piles it on you. Because you're stewarding whatever you have. And God will give it to you. I remember one of the blessers in my life. Her name was Dr. Grace Flint. I was 19 years old. Just came out of a rock and roll group. They forced me to cut my hair and dress correctly. And I went to this Bible college because I knew God had called me to the ministry, but I had no idea the process or the steps. So I just enrolled. And I remember the first class that I took was taught by Dr. Grace Flint. And she She didn't give grades a lot on papers. Instead, she would substitute two or three sentences about you that she saw, almost a prophetic word. I started keeping her papers over the years. For decades, I kept her papers because I wanted to keep reading those comments that she had. I had stacks of them. In fact, I went through them and I pulled out just two. And I read them and I thought, we need to hear this again. Listen to this. Here's one. Because as I said, I was very young in the Lord. She says, Wayne, I know that you are young in the Lord, but you are growing at an amazing rate. Thank you for just blessing our class. I thought, oh, that was good. Here's another one. Wayne, the comments that you had yesterday in class contain such insight about God's word. I want to encourage you to keep seeing God's word the way that you do, because God's given you a keen insight towards it. Thank you for being a part of my class. See, she's giving me a future, right? When I don't even think I had. She's giving that to me. She's giving hope. Do you understand how well-chosen words give hope and futures? So in Jeremiah 29:11, if we can be a people of the blessing, not just to receive, but to distribute, if we will be a people of the blessing, you know what happens? We start to communicate the heart of God to people. And when God sees that, he says, how many prodigals can I send you? Because through this place, futures will be given. I remember reading that, and the first thing I thought was, I know she's lying, but it feels so good. I took every class she taught. If she taught a class, if she would have taught on home economics and cooking, I would have taken that class. So I just wanted someone to pour into my life as she did. She was giving me a future and a hope. They called him Mean Mike. He got that name because at 2 years old, his dad tried to take a toy away from him, and his grip was so tenacious, he started calling him Mean Grip Mikey. Well, after he grew up, the Mikey went back to Mike, and they dropped the grip, and he was known as Mean Mike. Mean Mike. In grade school, he started to live up to his name, because if everybody called you Mean Mike, you might as well be mean. Well, he worked his way through school with his fists. He was mean, but he could never hold down a job later because he used his anger, he used his fists, and he used his words to control people. He's still alive today. You can visit him. He's finishing off a life sentence in Arizona State Prison. Words can derange a person's future. Poorly chosen words. But when I think of well-chosen words, I go back again to my mom and how she would use words. I remember one season of our life in Palolo, we couldn't make the mortgage. It was just too much because she was just a waitress raising us four kids. And so she actually found someone to rent our house, talked to her brother, my uncle, who lived down on 10th Avenue in Kaimakee, who had a basement. It's kind of his shop and just storage. And she said, can we live there? It, on one side, it had no walls. It was a part of the side of a hill. And so if you know the 10th Avenue, if you take a look, Cocoa Head side, there's a mountain. And there's some houses built up against it. So it was an unfinished basement. Part of it was the mountainside. She said, we'll live there. Concrete floor, one big room with some plywood in the middle that just kind of separated a bedroom. So he said, yeah, for free. Bathroom was outside under any tree that you could find. And then we had a hot plate. And that was it. But we didn't have any money, so that's where we lived for a season. I remember hating that place. Just hated it. Cement floor was cold. We just sit on the floor at night and watch a little black and white television. That was our entertainment. I remember sitting there one night with my mom, both of us sitting on the floor, when the biggest centipede came out of a crack in the concrete and crawled over my legs. I screamed, I grabbed my mom, and I started crying. I was only 32 at the time, but I started crying and yelling, and I said, I hate this place. No, I was seven. But I said, I hate this place. I hate this place. My mom would hug me. She said, that's all right. That's all right. I said, I hate this place. I hate this place. And I remember her carrying me over to the bed and tucking me in. She sat next to the bed, and she put her arm on me, and she just began to sing. Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that we dream of once in a lullaby. And she'd sing about wishing upon a star. And even in my little unlearned mind, do you see what she was doing? She was painting for me a bright future. She was with her words saying, you have a future. Don't look at the circumstances and give up. You have a future. Those words were powerful. Well-chosen words. Even till this day, when I cannot sleep, I ask Anna to sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Words, well-chosen words. We live in a society that doesn't think that way, but we must if we're going to be a people of the blessing. And God's looking for men and women who will be, because prodigals are coming home. Let me give you one more that is a part of the kiss, as it were. Choosing right words is one, but here's the other. Choosing an authentic and holy touch. Holy touch, not an unholy touch. We live in a society where there's unholy touches all the time. You read about in the newspaper all the time this sexual assault or this happening or that happening in the schools. We're so afraid of that, we've kind of receded from touching each other anymore. But that's not how God designed it. Did you know that the UCLA put out a study recently that said for a child to have a healthy emotional upbringing, they require 8 to 10 touches a day that's authentic and genuine? I mean, a touching of the hand, patting of the shoulder, ruffling a little boy's hair, saying, hey, you're all right. A little hug, you're doing good. 8 to 10 of those. And if you don't have that, it actually stunts that child's growth. For example, a little baby, if the mother perchance dies in childbirth, giving birth to a child, and the child lives, in the past, they used to just leave that child in a little bassinet, and there's no mother to cradle or cuddle that child, and that child would often, within a week or two, die because no one touched it. So then they started getting in nannies and nurses just to cuddle these babies, and all of a sudden, everything changed. Their life expectancy returned. They became healthy. And what they found was, in order to develop a strong immune system, children needed that touch, that affection, that sense of security and love. And if you remove that, they don't develop. And in our society, you look at, why are these people so weird? Because we live in a society that doesn't know how to genuinely and authentically touch. Medicine has a word for it. It's called touch deprivation for these children that are going bad. Touch deprivation. There's a humorous story. I've probably told it before. A stodgy wife brings her listless husband into the doctor and saying, hey, something's wrong with my husband. And the doctor says, what? She said, I don't know. I don't know. You ask him. The doctor looked at them both and said, okay, ma'am, could you wait outside? I want to talk to your husband in private. And so after talking to him for a while, he called in the wife and said, can I talk with you? And maybe you could have your husband now wait in the car. She said, yeah, Harry, get out of here, whatever. And so she sat down. Harry said, okay. And so he went out to the car, and the doctor said, you know, your husband is dying. She said, what? Yeah, he's dying of something called touch deprivation. He's like in stage 4 of this. She said, what do you mean? She says, you just gotta love on him. What? She said, yeah. She said, well, what am I supposed to do? The doctor said, well, when he comes home, hug him, kiss him, Massage his shoulders. Put house slippers on his feet. Get him some iced tea. You got to be able to love on him a little more. She said, oh, whatever. And so he said, well, you go try it. So she went out to the car, sat behind the wheel. And the husband, after a few moments, said, honey, what did the doctor say? She looked at him and said, he said, you're going to die. Jesus modeled this so well. Do you remember the story of the leper? The leper that Jesus healed? Do you know in those days, the lepers were the lowest of the low. They had to ring a bell. They would have blisters and they would have hives. Some would be leaking. It would be a horrible stench. And they would have to have a bell that when they would see another person coming, it was the law that they had to ring this bell and start to yell, unclean, unclean. And they could not breach a proximity or radius of, here it is. You couldn't get closer to anybody if you were a leper. You couldn't get within a stone's throw away. You had to stay a stone's throw away. Why? Because if they breached that and got any closer, it was okay for you to pick up a stone and throw it at them. And so they were told to stay a stone's throw away from people. And if you breached that parameter, there was no law against someone throwing rocks at you and killing you. Well, one day a leper took this massive risk, saw Jesus, heard about him, and ran to him and fell to his knees and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And I bet he was shaking, waiting for a rock to come down on his head. But Jesus' response is absolutely amazing. Jesus looked at this leper and it says, and he stretched out his hand and what? Touched him. And said, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. Now let me ask you this question. Do you think Jesus touched this leper after he was healed or before he was healed with his blisters still draining? When do you think Jesus touched him? After he was healed or before?
Before.
Why? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus knew that this man didn't just need a physical healing. He needed a healing of the heart. And he needed value restored to him regardless of his circumstances. You understand? You see, some of us just want physical healing, but our lives are falling apart on the inside. Jesus knew that he needed to restore value to this man regardless of his circumstances or his condition. And then his condition cleared up as a result of it. And Jesus knows that there's lepers, not only back in the Bible times, but even here today, that we all need that. We all need to have value reattributed to us. Every single one of us. And that's why God is speaking about the importance of a genuine and holy touch. It happened again when people were bringing children to Jesus to be touched by him, to be blessed by him. And remember the disciples' response? Ho, get these kids away. Shoo, shoo, shoo. And when Jesus saw what was going on, it says this in the scriptures. It says, but when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, you permit the children to come unto me. Do not hinder them. Here it is, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. You know what he was saying? There's something of the treasures of the kingdom of God that can only be imparted through a genuine and holy touch. Oh, do you understand how precious this next season will be if we will become a people of the blessing and have well-chosen words? And when we do, God will delight in this place, and you watch what God's about to do. You watch, you wait, you'll see. Amen.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Chapped Lips by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said. People around you are starving for a blessing. Use your words to bless someone today. Now, this is Del Gibbs saying God bless you and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.